This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I knew it. Another Herdat Media production.
So I'm thrilled to announce my next guest. Don't Let It Stew is on location today. First time. I'm here. She is a television host, actress, producer. You have all these things. I just, like, when I looked you up. Fashion aficionado, which we all know. And you have numerous causes that you're an advocate for. Everyone, welcome Melissa Rivers to her own home.
I was going to say, welcome to my house. you've been here before.
Yeah, we met first time with Fireside years ago, like 2 years ago.
Years ago.
We
in did my kitchen.
Cooking demos together and stuff.
No, so, you did cooking demos.
I watched
and looked terrified, and you kept trying to convince me that I could do these things. And I'm like,
it was
sure.
Amazing. I think there was cookbooks in your oven. I can't even remember what was actually going on there. But no, we had fun.
We had a lot of fun.
So I like to start off each episode with what's stewing this week. It's called Don't Let It Stew. So I have something. I've actually two things.
Okay, let's hear.
So one actually happened this week. I was at Whole Foods and I pulled into the lot and I had to wait maybe like a minute and a half for this person reversing into a parking space.
Wait, reversing in,
like
not
they're
out.
Backing into the. So basically, when they get in the car, they can just drive away.
Right. Which, military style.
Like, yeah. Like, are you stealing the store? Like, the robbery? Like, your getaway car? Like,
That's fucking annoying.
It's fucking annoying.
It's annoying. But you know, it's more annoying.
What?
When people know that you're waiting to get into the spot and you see them going slow, like, they get in. They put on their seatbelt, they start the car.
No, and you know they're on the fucking cell phone.
Right, and I was going to say, and you know they're on the phone, or they're getting everything hooked up. You know what? Just back it up.
Do you know what? That happened to me once where it was actually, we were getting into the cars, me and my friends, and a car was waiting for us to leave.
Get out.
We were getting into the car. We weren't taking our time. We were going more normal pace. They started beeping at us. I was like, fuck that. Close the doors. We're going back into the store.
Okay, but here's the thing. When you're sitting and waiting, it feels much longer.
Dying. Yeah.
Right? So, but when I see someone waiting to do that, I gesture that I see them. I say, like, one sec, get in. And I do everything as quickly as possible. Because once I'm out, I can then do my little adjustments. But I always make sure that if I see someone doing that, I either speed it up or I say, like, hey, I see you. I'm getting it done.
Sure, well, me too. If I see someone behind me wanting a spot, like, I'll get my shit together and get out for sure.
Because it feels so much, I'm not saying they should be, but it feels unbelievable how long it feels to see people.
I start, like, breathing heavily.
Yes, yes. And you're like, come on.
Stop. You're like, calm down. Another thing, my friend Zach Peter, I saw he was posting on Instagram and he was talking about mocktails. And it really, like, I wanted to pop off
on
it.
Okay, why do you hate mocktails?
Because it's like soda with fucking juice. Like, it is. And they charge you, like, $16 for it. You know they do.
Yeah. Well, yes, but we live in LA.
Sure.
People's sobriety is a big thing.
1,000%.
And they still want to, like, I think a lot, okay. I have this theory that mocktails kind of started before they had a name, where you could have a drink in your hand at a party and people wouldn't keep asking you.
1000%. Like, the big one was like, what, soda water with ice? Everybody would say it's a vodka soda or something like that.
Exactly. But no, to be charging $16 for it, yeah, it's sparkling water and some juice.
They're like, we have a mocktail menu. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, what's $16? So with vodka, it's $18.
Right.
Like, that doesn't make sense to me. That's why I call it a scam. And stop calling it mocktails. I hate that fucking name.
Mocktails I can deal with, but it's just, you're right.
Non-alcoholic beverage.
Non-alcoholic beverage. But I understand sort of the point of it, but they should not be gouging. Well, first of all, we pay way too much for drinks
anyway.
I mean, and now I'm always shocked when we go out to dinner and I look at it, and I say,
it's insane.
Did anybody drink? And you're like, no. Someone had one glass of wine. You're like, this is absurd.
Well, I went out Saturday night at a restaurant. I think I had like two martinis and they were like $23 each.
Oh, easy.
It's insane.
Easy. So I was just, which is so funny because this just came up. I was watching the Masters, and online on a TikTok or on a Instagram, someone posted the food menu.
Yes.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Because they've kept it at like 1970 prices. So like a sandwich was $1.50.
Oh, lovely.
A beer was $1. And I'm like, I love that.
That is cool.
Because people have already paid so much for their tickets and to get in there,
yes.
Like,
I agree.
I love that. I also learned that they wrap everything in green wrappers so that if someone sets it down on the ground or forgets to throw it away, you can't see it on TV.
Oh.
Things I learned while watching the Masters.
That's really good. I didn't know that. Your favorite, from a small bit of research I did, like 10 minutes, vodka fresca is your favorite?
So good.
It is really good.
It's really good. And I know it is so trash. It's so not fancy.
But you can make it fancy with like some mint in there, like a lime, and you're pouring it on the glass. But it's so summery and crisp.
It's so good. It is. So good. And it's so easy.
It is so easy. And it's like, I remember I lived in Napa Valley when I first moved to America. Shannon Coletto, I remember at her house, she's like, I love like vodka fresca. And I'm like, I've never tasted it. And she poured it for me. I was like, this is so, it's almost like a...
It's lemony and limey.
Lemony kind of margarita-ish if you do tequila with it. Yeah.
It's so good. And it mixes well with everything.
It is good.
But that's the thing. People always say like Jack and Coke. I'm like, you can also have Jack and Diet Coke.
That's more of a winter drink for me.
But I don't drink Jack, so.
Yeah.
I'm not a big whiskey person.
Yeah.
I don't like dark liquor. And I'm not allowed to drink tequila.
Apparently in my family, my dad, like, we have a history in my family that the O'Keefes get a bit crazy with whiskey.
Well, listen to your last name.
Yeah.
You could be a distillery. But my whole thing is I don't do well with dark liquor and I can't drink tequila.
Okay.
It's not really bad things can happen. So I'm like, one margarita. Like I have to be very
could you
careful.
Do one like at a Mexican restaurant or something for the fun of it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But like, I can't even, if I can smell it, I start to heave because I have had that. I don't have a positive relationship with tequila.
It is a smell. It's like, it can be intense.
And everyone's like, this is the best tequila. You won't notice. I'm like, I'll notice.
You'll notice.
I know this. Tequila and I are not friends. Gin and I are not great friends either.
I do love a Hendrix gin martini.
I can't drink martinis.
Oh, yeah, I think I need to lay off them for a while.
Well,
I had a few too many this weekend.
Live and learn.
I live and learn, exactly. I also read somewhere that you said you can like fall asleep anywhere.
I can fall asleep.
How do I get that condition?
Well, grow up on the road. That would be number one. Have your parents sling you under their arm at age 6 months and start traveling for work.
Wow.
I learned to just, my mother could sleep sitting straight up.
Wow.
And my dad could too. And I just, it's something you can learn. And if you're used to it, but again, this has been years of conditioning. Cooper, same way.
Yeah.
I will be somewhere and at a restaurant and I will look at the banquette and go, I could really put my head down there for a sec.
Yeah.
I can curl into shapes to fit things.
Wow. I mean,
but again, it's just something I've had to do for survival my entire life. I'm also a big believer in naps.
Well, people live longer that take naps.
But also, as my mom used to say when we were like working or running around, And you would close, she'd be always like, close your eyes for 10 minutes. And I'd be like, ugh. She's like, sleep fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it does, it energize you. I can't. I like take a nap. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. It's
I'll do that too, where I will just go down. But often I will fall asleep sitting straight up.
So apparently.
And I can sleep like this. I could easily just.
You could just sit in that chair now and just like fall asleep. Just and put your head back.
Yeah. Well, no, I have to go sideways. I'm not, I can't do it that way. But yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I want little that. I wish I could do that.
Impressive skills.
So I chatted with you on the phone yesterday. We were kind of like before I came over here today, and I was like, "Hey, can I talk to you about this?" Like, because it was just something that like I thought about. Like, so my mom died or like passed away like last November, right? And I just like it never occurred to me until like a few weeks later that offering condolences, like, what's the etiquette with it? Like, I feel like, here's what I'm going to say. Like, before I pop off about
it. Okay, no, please do.
If my number is in your phone and we've met more than 5 times, you send a fucking text. Hey, I'm sorry for your loss, whatever.
Right.
That's what I, minimum.
And what I do if someone, or what I did when people would text me, I would either just push in thank you.
Uh-huh.
Or what I do, first of all, you should write a note. Second of all, if you are doing it over text, which nowadays is fine, I will put no need to respond so that the person doesn't feel like they have to sit and answer every single text.
So will you say thank you and then no need to respond?
No. If I'm sending you a condolence note or text, I will write, just heard, I'm so sorry, thinking of you, no need to respond.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Because otherwise, I remember with my mom, it was just like I was getting blown up.
Sure, of course.
And it's like, I don't want to spend my time sitting and writing thank you to everybody. Yeah. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So what I do now is I write, I love you, I'm here for you, no need to respond.
That's nice. I like that.
But yes, people should reach out and acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it, especially if you know me.
Yeah, you should acknowledge it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you think they feel awkward?
People do feel awkward. Which I
but
find...
But then it's kind of selfish, then they make it about themselves.
You can look at it that way. But people very often don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And you can always just default to thinking of you.
Yeah. Like,
that's it.
No one's going to be pissed off if you send a message like that.
And what I say to like my friends who are going through it, like, I love you, I'm here for you, I'm not going to bother you.
Yeah.
But just so you know, next month I am, because once all the chaos ends is actually when you need people.
Sure. I agree.
You know, so I'll be like my friends. I'm like, you want me? I'm there. You don't want me? Not offended. But just so you know, next month, I am going to start checking in on you.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I really do.
You know, it's unfortunately something that people don't know how to do until they've been on the other side of it.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
But if you've known
I probably will be a lot more aware now when people around me, they're...
And what I think, at least what I appreciate, is when you say no need to respond. Like, I'm not looking for you to say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for thinking of me.
Yeah.
No.
It just continues on and keeps going.
Need to respond.
Congratulations, you got engaged.
Yes.
How about that?
How
long have you been together?
2 years.
2 years, nice.
But at a certain point in your life, you know early on if it's going to work not work. And you're like, either you're like going to spend the time or not.
Yeah.
You know, and I've just been thinking a lot about like, you know, the whole Golden Bachelor thing.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
You knew it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But again, at their age, they were early enough in the process to be like, let's call it a day while we don't hate each other.
Yeah.
And
so do you think because of the show, then they're more forced to get married? Like, Do you have, with the bachelor, do you have to get married
no,
at the very end
you
of it?
Don't have no, to get okay. married. You don't even have to propose.
Okay.
But again, I mean, we can go a little deep into like a whole reality thing, but I always feel like there is pressure to propose at the end of the show. Do you have to get married? No. I think a lot of people, when they're in the throes of romance, and everything seems so rosy and
that'd be
yes,
me.
We're going to get married. And then like with them, and then the show's like, and we'll throw the wedding and it'll be this and it'll be that. But when the dust settles, it's at least they were mature enough to be like,
this is not.
Let's be honest. And also what they talked about in interviews is they would look at houses in both places and then in other places, and yet nobody seemed excited.
So in both places, as in like they wouldn't move together to one place?
Again, they were planning. I don't know what they were doing, but my whole thing was at least at you hope at 70, they were cognizant enough to go like, why are we wasting each other's time?
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it. I think after you've been in enough relationships or any of those kinds of things, what I always found for myself was I focused more on what were my non-negotiables than my negotiables.
Okay.
So
that's a nice, I never thought of it.
You know, there's like certain things that no matter how good the good is, that I'm not going to deal with.
Sure.
And I was...
And you're just hoping then that person will negotiate with you on those things? No, because you can't negotiate on those.
No, there's things that are just hard and fast things that I'm not going to deal with.
Can you share one of those?
I'm not going to deal with addiction.
Okay.
Okay, but let me rephrase that. I'm not going to deal with people who are actively in an addiction.
Got you.
If someone has considerable sobriety and I see them working their program, fantastic. Actually, those are the best people to get involved with because they can actually articulate how they feel.
They can look within and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I just want to make sure I say that clearly. I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to deal with someone who is not completely divorced yet.
I mean, do we have to ask these things?
Yeah.
You do.
I mean, I just had a conversation with someone who is engaged, but the person is not yet divorced because they're in the middle of a horrific custody battle.
Okay.
But they're
definitely not going to get back together. They're just the custody
but
stuff.
She's like, how many years of my life do I want to live with this?
Yeah.
So there's certain things like that. And for me, bad table manners.
Bad table manners. Wow.
It's total non-starter. And it's so funny because with Steve, I even said to him, I almost didn't go on a second date because I didn't like his shoes.
See, look, I used to do that on dates as well. I'd be like, I don't like this about him. I don't like that about him. I don't do that anymore. I have to give it a few dates. You can't be a bitch and just be like, you know, like that kind of bugs me. I'm like, that's so stupid. Like it's cop out for me. You know,
right.
It's kind of, you're trying to make an excuse.
But I pulled up in front of the restaurant and he was waiting outside and I went like, oh, nice, nice. Oh, like bad.
That's the fashion thing in you. But you were like...
Bad shoes.
Not anymore, though, right? You can fix that. That's easy to fix.
By the way, yeah, but still, I'm like, really? These are the shoes you chose to wear? That was what I was worth for those. But then, and I even said to him, like, I don't even know why I gave you a second date, but he wore good shoes on the second date.
There you go. See? Easily fixable.
And we make fun of it. He's like, yeah, but they were really comfortable. I'm like, no one's supposed to be comfortable on a first date.
Yeah, jeez.
Do you think I was comfortable in heels and a bra? No.
No. Of course not. Heels? Well, I mean, he got the message. At least you said it up front, right?
Well, I approached reshaping his style slowly and carefully.
Okay.
And I said to him, I'm not going to take you out of your comfort zone.
Sure, okay.
We're just going to try and make it a little more modern.
Yeah.
We're going to update your comfort zone. Okay. And every time we go out now and he's wearing something that I picked, everyone's like, God, you look so nice. He's like, thank you.
You're like, I know.
Now I say, hi, you're getting this. And he goes, okay.
Wedding. How many people, roughly, do you think?
We're thinking 140.
I think
we would be happy between 120 and 130.
Okay, nice.
Not insanely big.
No. Nice.
And nowadays, that's not considered a big wedding.
It's not okay. I mean... When you think of these rooms nowadays, like to fit 120 people in a room, it's easy.
Yeah. And it's also when you really, what I do, what I say is do like wedding math. So 120 is 60 couples.
Yeah, see, that's not that much.
And then when you have to subtract family, like he has a huge family. His family is, he has 11 nieces and nephews.
Now, I mean, the number just gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Well, like from the couples, I mean.
Yeah, the thing is he has 11 nieces and nephews. It's a lot.
Have you done the list yet?
Oh, yeah. We had to, for one place we wanted to go, we had to get it down to between 120 and 125. Then when we switched locations, we were able, it was nice because we had already created sort of a very tight list.
Yeah.
So we were able to open it up a little, but we've been very disciplined about keeping it small. And unfortunately what's happening is a lot of our people who we like feel like we have to invite are saying yes. Which is really a problem.
Oh, Jesus. Because you're kind of hoping that some of them will not say yes.
Well, I feel like I have to invite all these people from work and this and that and the other. And because I work with them all the time, I'm like, I don't think they really want to go. But I feel like I have to invite them. And they're all like, hey, great, we'll be there. I'm like, no. No, please don't. I have two friends, one of which you know, Josh Flagg.
Yeah.
Who is horrified that I told him I'd already picked his plus one.
You've picked his plus one?
Yeah, he doesn't get to bring a plus one. Another girlfriend of mine who's single.
Who, by the way,
is also going. I said, no, I counted you guys as together. Dude, he's like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, yeah.
Do you want to go or not?
I'm like, he's like, why would you make us? I go, you just came back from a week in Hawaii together. It's not like I'm asking you to go with someone that you're not really good friends with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's actually really smart though. Because a lot of, like in Ireland, I remember like there was a lot of weddings where you didn't get a plus one, but they would match a lot of singles together. Because they're like, I'm not paying for her. I've never met her in my entire life.
At my first wedding, I had a rule that you either had to be engaged, living together, and if you were, or married, obviously. Or it, you had to be, if you were not either of those, you had to be dating for at least 6 months.
Fair.
Because again, I don't need you to bring a date to be like, oh, I'm going to this wedding.
Yeah.
And feed them and entertain them just so that you can get laid. Like that is, again, that, not my job.
Not on my, not on my
dime.
For that.
Not on my dime.
No.
And I have friends that are still pissed at me.
Of course, I see weddings get really just delicate. Like they're just, it's it can get messy. Well, and people get like butthurt.
Well, with this one, I'm like, come, don't come.
Yeah. That's the thing. You have to just like be like, I don't give a shit.
I'm making it, as I keep saying, everyone who's invited has managed to travel all over the world without my assistance. They can figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. So let's get into fashion for a second. Okay. White t-shirt and jeans. That's your uniform?
Totally my uniform.
I kind of wore it today for you.
And I had to change because we were almost twinning.
Well, it was actually nice because you had said, because I read that. I was like, you know what? That actually seems nice for today. It's so sunny outside.
Yeah,
I was like,
I'll just wear that. And my white sneakers or loafers.
I do love a blue jean with a white tee though. Like a white v-neck that's kind of tight. Like I love that.
Okay, I'm not going for tight v-necks. But that's a separate podcast and that's something you can stew about on your own. But it's just easy. I like to also, especially in the summer, mix in a striped tee.
A striped tee.
Because you can always, it always looks pulled together and you can put on a jacket, you could put on a sweater.
Yes, okay. I like that, okay.
Always a fan of the striped tee. As a matter of fact, I have been banned from buying any more stripes by my stylist and the people around me.
Because you have so much upstairs
already. I have a stripe
already.
Problem.
Yeah.
I have a real stripe problem.
Summer's approaching, men and women, like what are your picks? For men, women, for your husband-to-be?
I can't count him because he has such a distinctive, like, lane he is comfortable in. You know, he always looks like he just stepped off the golf course. And even in, like, not when he's not golfing, he... One of the things when we started dating was, I'm like, do you own any shirts that do not have a golf course logo on them?
A golf course logo.
Yes, because he's played like all the best.
Okay, like Hay Club in Dublin or Ireland. Exactly. Got it.
And jokingly, I said, is that how you all identify each other in the wild? And he said, yes. And we were somewhere. And someone walked in. He's like, oh, have you played there? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, me too. Like,
it's like a conversation starter.
It is. But so I'm, you know, so it's hard to figure out. But I just keep it super simple. again, like what you're wearing is easy. Nice. And I hate men in sandals. Flip-flops are one thing, but your feet better be nice.
Like strappy sandals, yeah. Like that kind of thing, yeah. It's too much.
I don't like
kind of like Jesus Christ sandals?
Yeah,
like
well, first of all, I hate Birkenstocks. I hate them on men. I hate them on women. All these new shoes that make your... Remember there were all the slides mm-hmm. with the big...
Yeah.
They make my feet look so flat. They make everybody's feet look flat.
But you like a flip-flop?
A flip-flop is great.
Great, okay.
I'm a fan of the flip-flop, but again... Don't have nasty toes.
No.
Exactly. Also, some things that bother me, like, do not wear, I don't want to look at your nasty ass feet on an airplane.
My best friend Jason is all about that. He does like a public service announcement.
Yeah.
Just in spring. Like, you know, go on a course of Lamisil. Like, do whatever you got to do.
Well, I'm so crazy. If I'm not wearing socks with my shoes and I'm getting on an airplane, I bring socks.
Yeah.
Because, and I have well cared for feet. But again, I do not need to subject others to my feet. And I don't want to see anyone else's ugly, nasty feet.
No.
Especially when you're trapped on an airplane and then they put it up.
I always have to wear socks in the airplane too. I mean, today now I don't have socks on. But my feet, they're always a work in progress. Like no matter how many pedicures I get, everybody's like, did you get your feet done? I'm like, I did. They're like, doesn't look like it.
But also you've had a career standing on your feet.
Yes.
For your entire, however last.
And I'm Irish. And it's just like, you know, it's like.
But your hands are well kept.
Yeah, I do. I get the pedicures, but I mean, I buy my nails or manicures. I know. It's just, I don't
Steve
even get
Steve bites
it.
His nails. And I asked him the other night, I'm like, didn't your parents ever get agitated about it? He's like, yeah, but they never did anything. But I can now hear it, like, mm-hmm. from the other room.
Oh.
And I'll be like, stop biting your nails.
I know, it's like at the picking and stuff like that, yeah. So, something happened on Vanderpump Rules like 2 weeks ago, and I thought it was kind of a cool kind of topic to bring up. Sharing your location on your iPhone. So it's a thing now where, like, a lot of friends will share their locations. Right. And it's kind of a cool thing, like, if your girlfriend's going out at night, you just make sure she's safe, she
Absolutely.
Got home. There were some cool things about it. I guess Sheena, in Vanderpump Rules, she has this like 30 or 40 people. She shares all their locations. So Katie, I guess when that
wait,
one...
Wait, is she sharing them with other people?
Yeah, because I think that you both need to agree.
Okay. Yeah, you have to opt in to these things.
Yes, you do. So I could share with you and you could not share with me, I guess. So you could know where I am, but I don't know where you are.
Right.
I think.
Yes, yes.
So I guess Katie Maloney, she went out one night or something like that. And Sheena was looking at the map. And I guess Katie spent the night over this, I think this guy is Max's house. And they were asking her questions like, hey, you didn't leave. You went over, but you didn't leave. Like, did you sleep with them? Did you, like, what happened? So she got caught, basically. She probably didn't want to tell anybody
right.
what had happened. So that's like, what, the double-edged sword? Like, it's kind of
totally,
like.
Totally, totally. Like,
you know, what do you think about that?
again, you are voluntarily sharing your information.
Sure.
Like, you know. Don't be stalkery, but I have to admit, if I had all my friends' locations,
oh my
I
God.
Would sit at night and look at where everybody was.
I would too.
I know that I do not have the self-discipline to not abuse it.
And the thing about it is, like, you know, like, she was probably drinking that night, she's probably having some fun or whatever. She totally forgot that maybe that someone can see her location. You just would forget.
Yeah.
You just, you know what I mean? I thought that was just hilarious.
I'm like, again, but now that I'm thinking, I would totally stalk my friends. I would be so bad.
I would be too.
Stalking people. And by the way, we had a exchange student living mm-hmm. with us for a few years, a while back. And we had Life 360. And I was on it, and Cooper was on it, and Isaiah was on it. And then all of a sudden I look, and it's like, Isaiah, now mind you, he's in college in Canada. He's no longer, like, took me off. And I texted him, like, why the hell did you take me off our Life 360? He's like, I'm in Canada. I'm like, I don't care.
You do. I want to know where you are.
I want to know where you are.
I want to know what bars you go to, restaurants you go
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Yeah. But we were laughing about that, because you do. You forget.
You do.
Uh-huh. I don't think anyone really cares where I am. So it's a whole... It's like, really, do you,
said
do
you
like...
You'd be at your house all the time.
They wouldn't see me never move. The only thing I think is it would be good, like, if I didn't move for a long time, someone could send for a welfare check to make sure I wasn't dead.
Okay, food tips. And we're going to go into the kitchen as well. Today's episode is a crossover. So after we're done today, you'll move over to Melissa's podcast group text. And we'll continue the conversation on there with a few little things in the kitchen.
Yes, right? we're gonna chat.
So we'll keep all the food tips for there.
We'll keep all the food tips there, yeah. Because we're gonna chat. You're gonna remember how absolutely incompetent I am in the kitchen.
I can't wait.
But there's things I don't know about you that I want to discuss first.
Yes, you can ask me anything. Okay. So
go to group text.
Go to
group text.
So yeah. Everyone go to group text. We're closing it out here at Don't Let It Stew. So thank you so much for listening again. And remember, sometimes it's not always best to let things stew. Thanks, Melissa.